Motion, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Board of Supervisors meeting, January 25th, 2022. Is there any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
I have none. How about you, Mr. Campbell?
I have none.
Okay.
There.
We'll meet with department heads and elected officials. Sarah Doty, payroll clerk.
I'm back, so it feels good to get back in, but I'm swamped, so just trying to get things caught up and done and on the roll.
Thank you.
Yep.
Colin Gersh, IT department.
And I just keep busy like always, flying solo here the past couple of days, trying to, you know, catch up on some stuff, but nothing new to report, so.
It's good to see you back.
Thank you.
Sheriff Lynn Denning.
Hi, good morning. Things are going well. No real major news from the sheriff's office. We have the law enforcement agreement from Minneapolis on the agenda today. And then we have, our numbers are going down this morning. We're at 70 and then three were already heading out. And then they were going to the state and a couple to the halfway house and ads today. So we should be down in the mid-60s today. Still zero out of county other than a couple juveniles. So hold strong at zero adults out of county.
Are they on adult waiver or?
That, yes, yes.
Thank you. Kerry Johnson, county auditor.
Good morning. We're just staying busy in the office. Cheryl busy with the budget. So we're just, like I said, keeping busy. Real estate, accounts payable, all that good stuff.
Thank you. Jared Laster, Southeast Iowa Regional Planning.
Morning. We do have one item on the agenda, regular agenda, plus the work session talking about the ordinance update and then the new airport height ordinance. Apart from that, we have a board of adjustment meeting set up for tomorrow evening at 5. We have a zoning variance request to review. So nothing apart from that. Just keep busy as always.
Good, thank you. Janelle Nally Longcliffe, County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy. Business as usual, nothing major to report.
Okay. Ken Heinemann, Seal Region for Mental Health.
Morning. Yep, keeping busy. You know, talking a lot about the removal of Fund 10 on July 1st and getting everything switched over to the physical agent account. I know I got a meeting tomorrow about assets, trying to figure all that out, what's region assets, what's county assets, things like that. So just keeping busy.
It sounds like it's been a busy time this last couple months on that.
Yeah, yep.
Thanks, Ken. Natalie Steffner, County Recorder.
Good morning. Like the others, keeping busy. We did get all of our microfilm sent out to US Imaging, so they can start digitizing that. It went out yesterday. Not quite sure how long it'll be out, but once that comes back, we'll have lots of work to do to get those uploaded into the system. And boat renewals have started. January 1st, you can start renewing your boats for this next year. They will expire April 30th.
Thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Road.
Good morning. No, I'll say no snow this weekend that required the guys to go out, so that was good. We are doing some tree clearing, a couple different tree clearing projects down on Skunk River, and then I want to mention we are going to do some tree clearing out on Beaverdale. Jim, this I think is the one that you got hit up on this summer.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they reached out to Tom or not, but I know that she's been, there's been a lady that's been, has at least contacted me multiple times, so. Just to give you a heads up, we're out there. I don't know that we'll end up with overly happy clientele, but we will clear some trees and we'll get out of there. So just so you know, in case you get contacted. Okay. So, but other than that, that's all I have.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Rodney, Regner, Rankin, Martin.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Just keeping busy. We got a lot of things going on. I want to remind anybody if they're interested, the front set project has been reposted again, so if anybody's interested in that, go to the county website and there's a link there for the plans and all that stuff. So just keeping busy.
Is there a new bid date on that?
February 2nd.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Chris Pogemiller. Hopefully help.
Good morning. Like everyone else, keeping busy. Our COVID positive numbers for the county are a little bit higher than they've been. We're at 25% with 298 cases in the last 7 days. Again, that'll update again tomorrow, so I'm hoping those numbers start moving downward a little bit. Continue to give vaccine at our office. Encourage anyone who's not vaccinated or needs a second or a booster dose to come see us. We do that Mondays and Wednesdays from 8:30 to 4. Currently, we're at 50% overall vaccination rates for the county.
Sounds pretty good, then. 50% of us. Thank you. Thank you, James. Do you have anything to add for Southeast Iowa Regional Planning outside of our meeting?
I don't think so. I've got a couple of agenda items today and then our work session afterwards.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to correspondence. See none here, and I have none. Do you gentlemen have any?
I do not.
Okay. So move on to discussion and vote. This is the Compensation Board's salary recommendation for fiscal year 2022 and 2023, and that would be, turn that over to Mr. Cahill here.
Thank you.
I can read this if you'd like.
No, I'll take care of that.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah,
good one. Well, good morning, Shane.
Good morning.
I have a handout here for you, Shane. I'll just put it on your desk.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Okay. And I have an extra here. I have on it. Oh, you want a Terry? Anybody else that wants? There's a couple of extras right there. Anyway, report of the Compensation Commission. This year is it was more fun than usual. And I want to thank the other members of our commission. Charles Walsh. These what I like about this commission. And what I like about the law is, in Iowa, I don't know how they do this in other states, but in Iowa, the supervisors and county office holders don't set their own salaries. That's pretty neat, really. So we have an unbiased citizen group, which is the Compensation Commission, that's, it kind of sets the goal that we have. Now, obviously, the supervisors don't have to buy what we recommend. But I just think it's great that the public really is involved in setting these salaries. You know, that's not true in every governmental unit. Some of those guys just go crazy with salaries. But anyway, our group contains business people, Charles Walsh, Sarah Schwartz, myself, Shane Wiley, an attorney there in Westbrook, Dwayne Worthy, formerly with the county, Jeff Heelan, formerly a supervisor, and Marlis Roberts, an attorney. So we pretty much covered all the bases as far as most of these people have employees of their own. Of course, I asked them too when we talked about a raise. Are you giving your people these kind of raises? They said, oh, yeah, sure we are. Yeah. Anyway, we had our meeting, and it was very interesting this year. I'll start with, if you go to page 2 of that handout, this is what we had to do this year that we didn't always do. We always tried to keep our salary raises for county elected officials in line with what the cost of living was and things like that. Well, this year it was different because the sheriff's departments across the state got busy and got the law amended. So this year, the state said that we, in setting the salary of the county sheriff, I'm just going to talk about the sheriff's office first. Mr. Glenn Denning knows that. I did that at our meeting, too, because it's so important. The county sheriff, the compensation board shall, I underline this, consider setting the sheriff's salary so it is comparable to salaries paid to professional law enforcement administrators, command officers of the state patrol, the Division of Criminal Investigation of the Department of Public Safety, and the city police agencies. they're pretty specific what we had to do. And that was new, and it kind of just came down not too far ahead of our meetings across the state. So, boy, we got different, every county had different things. I wrote down here what our surrounding counties did, because I thought it was interesting. Henry County, their board, compensation board, wanted 20%. They asked for a 20% increase in all elected officials. All of our elected officials will be interested in that. Lee County, that's the one that got me started doing a little research this year. They had, because I saw in the Democrat newspaper down there, that their compensation commission recommended a 45% salary increase for the sheriff. 45%, if you can imagine. And 10% for all other elected officials. The Wise County, they recommended 18% for their sheriff, 6% for the supervisors, and 12% for all other elected officials. So there were substantial rental increases requested by compensation boards in our area and across the state. So it was difficult. Well, how would we handle the sheriff's thing? First off, we worked on that. If you go to that next page of what I gave you, you'll see my hand scratching on that piece of paper. And this was just mine thought on it before we had our meeting. At comparable salaries, we had to do state patrol, so I took a captain. Well, of course, there's all different salary ranges in the state patrol, but I took a captain because they had command that responsibilities such as our sheriff's offices had, etc. And their average, the average salary there was $118,860. That's the average salary for a state patrol captain. I also took into consideration, you see number two, in the Division of Criminal Investigation, the average $120,280. Then, number three, I took into consideration the salaries of police chiefs in towns of similar size to Burlington. And so I used the Burlington police chief. In the population, there's 23,000. 107,640. Muscatine is 125,000. Mason City, similar population to Burlington in our county, city and county. 122,000. Ottumwa, 100,000. And Marshalltown, 127. So I just averaged those five comparable cities, and the average salary was $116,000. So, I mean, anybody can handle this any way they want to. This is just happens to be the way I did it, to come up with what I figured was maybe an average salary for a sheriff in our county. So I took the state patrol that I mentioned, the Division of Criminal Investigation guy, and the police chief's average, 116. That's 356,000, and I divided that then by three and got 118,699. So I figured that's probably what our sheriff should have been on an average making, using what we were told to make by this city code or the state code. And now this changed a little bit at the bottom, because I had, as you'll see, the sheriff's current salary is $97,000, and it should be $118,000. That was $21,000 difference, and that was a $22,000 increase. $22,000, and that's actually what I recommended but for the sheriff. But our board, we discussed it, and we all voted, as you'll see on page one. For the sheriff, a 20% increase, not a 22% increase as I had put on this paper, because I thought 22% was, I thought basically what the state ordered us to do, and it's kind of a convoluted a deal, really. It is. It's kind of difficult. And in fact, I was shocked when I read the article in that Democrat paper about 45% increase recommended for the sheriff of Lee County. But anyway, so we, now back to page one. So we discussed all of that. Finally arrived, consensus of the board was a 20% increase for the sheriff, pursuant to the requirements of this Iowa Code section 331907. I felt we really didn't have any We didn't have any choice, really, on that. And the board, and on my recommendations on the other county office holders, practice 5%. From there, we were basing that on, you know, cost of living and all that. The statistics that we get in what we had November statistics. And it said the inflation rate was 6-point-something% at that time. And I understand December went to 7% inflation rate by the time we had our meeting. I recommended 5%. Well, the board didn't buy that especially. So they wanted to go to 7%. And so we kind of, I guess, like a jury, you know, you got to come to some consensus. So we did on that and came to 7%. And that's how we recommended for the rest of the office holders, and we thought that would be fair. Now, we understand also that, that Iowa law permits the Board of Supervisors the right to decrease those recommendations if they want to. That's it's off our back and onto yours, I guess. we recommend what I set out in this in the minutes of our meeting, which I just gave you. And I gave Terry a copy of that also, so she has that. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Ellen, the sheriff this morning did give me a handout that explaining, I guess I was so negative at our board meeting about the sheriff's raises that he thought I needed more information. And he gave that to me today. It's the sheriff group that got this law change. They must have hired some really good lobbyists, is what I figure. And the rest of the office holders forgot to. So maybe next year they'll have hired the same lobbyists.
I think Mr. Cahill's speculating.
Yeah.
Objection.
Obviously, the sheriffs and their lobbyists argued to the legislature that they. Our sheriffs were underpaid as compared to these other state office law enforcement people. And of course, they gave us the information, so we knew what all these people in the state offices, law enforcement agencies, were being paid. I mean, we have a list of that. And so that's how we came up with ours. I'll leave this here for, if they don't, did you give this to the board, one of these?
No, I didn't.
Well, they can have that explanation then, because now they can deliberate on this. I'm sure that the Lee County Sheriff isn't going to get a 45%. I would guess that. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. But that's our recommendations, and we recommend again that you follow those recommendations. Any questions, Jim?
No, I don't have any questions. I just think about, I think we should table this and so we can talk about this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we typically
do it at a later meeting.
At a later meeting.
And Shane's at home having his second cup of coffee, and Shane, maybe you could look over this handout that I just gave everybody.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
I'd like to add one thing. I'd like to thank Dan. I thank the rest of the committee for the time you spent on this. I know there's. Better things to go out at the house than at night on some 0-degree day. So we appreciate the time you spent on this. And there's another matter in which I do have a little prejudice in. The auditor tells me Dan wants to retire from the board.
I thought I had retired last year.
I don't think there was board action on that, so I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Terry told me.
We will have to take that under discussion, too, because I'm going to be very honest with you. You've been on with the compensation board for 5-6 years?
Oh, I think maybe 8.
8 years, something like that, long time. I look forward to this every year, to your presentation. It's one of the great joys of being on this board.
Well, you know, I kind of enjoy it only because I think it's such a great governmental thing that we have that the citizens kind of decide what our elected officials are going to be paid. You know, they had that case in California just a couple of years ago, some small town, where they had a little bitty town. It wasn't as big as West Burlington, but they were on the beach somewhere in California. And they were setting their own salaries. I mean, they're making $150,000, $200,000, and all kinds of. Of course, the city went bankrupt. But so, I mean, I really appreciate this law, even with the amendments. You know,
that they just made, so.
Okay, well, that's it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I know you appreciate the law, and this is your opportunity.
Yeah.
That you're mostly retired. This is your opportunity to contribute to the community.
Yeah, right.
One or two evenings a year.
Yeah.
And maybe a morning.
Yeah.
So I'd like you to reconsider your retirement from the compensation board.
Well, we'll see how you fellas rule on this.
My negotiation has started.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Dan.
I told Terry he wasn't going to be back from wherever he was till till now. Anyway, and I said, whatever you do, I said, don't just hand that to us. I said, we want Dan to come here.
Get one of these little spiels on.
I so enjoy that.
Okay, now we have.
I'll sit here for you. I don't knock them off.
Payroll claims, reimbursements.
Yeah.
114 and 128.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. I just about said Terry. We have a resolution for 2022-004 approving allocations of the ARPA funds. This is, whereas on March 11, 2021, President Biden signed the $109 billion American Rescue Plan Act, whereas Des Moines County applied for and will receive $7,568,844 total in two transactions. The first grant was funded by the American Rescue Plan Act totaling $3,784,422 has been received, and the second half will be received in 2022. Whereas Des Moines County Board of Supervisors has reviewed county projects and requests and determined that the funds will be used entirely on county projects with one exception. Whereas based on the distribution guidelines from the U.S. Department of Treasury, the following projects have been approved for the said use funds. One, digitizing books and documents in the auditors and recorder's office to electronic images, transfer books, supervisors' minutes, survey notes, deed books, mortgage books, microfilm deeds, grantee books, and plat books. In the health department building includes purchase in the property and construction. Phone system for county offices, the sheriff's RMS and CAD system, and the Danville Telecom to expand broadband into unserved areas in Des Moines County for $355,000. Be it resolved that the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors endorses the distribution of the American Rescue Plan Act for the items listed and authorizes the auditor to make these payments as they are presented.
I would move to approve that with a comment. The clarification is where the county said it applies for those funds. Counties didn't apply for those funds. The U.S. Treasury basically contacted us and said, what's your bank account information so we can transfer it to you? So that's how we applied for it. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay, we have on the board
And I would, well, and I have no problem with that memorandum of understanding. I've read it at least twice, and I know you've read it. We were late in getting it to the county attorney just so she could can bless it. I don't say it. So I would move that we table this just for a week. And we didn't get it to her in time. She's had much time. I know she's busy. So table and put it on the next agenda if we could.
That's totally good with me. I've got to watch out which one of these here at stamp. I came in this morning and Miss Doty said she needed to talk to me. I used the wrong stamp on several items.
Uh-oh.
She had to reprint. So. Okay, approval contract with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning for the RFQ process, assistance for construction and management of the architect and engineering service for the what we've done on New Helensville. And it's for $5,000, $2,500 upon contract initiation and $2,500 on completion of work.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. I don't know about Zach, but Jared was sweating a little bit over there for a minute. We have final plat resolutions for the 2022-05 Sunset Ridge subdivision.
This is one where, quite frankly, I'm amazed that name hadn't been taken already. That seems like that could be a something that somebody would have used by now, Sunset Ridge, but it's not going to be used again. So this is a three-lot subdivision at the south end of the county, north side of 61, heading towards Lee County. So it's an existing, fairly large property that's being split three ways. The person who currently owns it purchased it last year, owns some adjoining farmland to the south. He intends to keep lot 3, which is technically landlocked, but it would be adjacent to land that he will continue to own and farm. That's the 55 acres at the west end of the property. Lot 2 contains a house. There's already a buyer set ready to go with that one. It sounds like they're interested in possibly tearing down that existing house and building a new one. But in any case, it will be used for residential purposes. And then lot 1, the one closest to 61, is about 27 acres that will be purchased by a nearby landowner who will continue to farm it. So really only lot 2 was the only one that would be developed, and technically it would be redeveloped with a new home. One complication that initially came about with the survey here is that there's a strip of land about 100 feet wide where the driveway accessing lot 2, for many years now, that was actually been owned by the power company, ITC Midwest. There used to be a transmission line there years and years ago, and while that is no longer the case, it remains in their ownership. And while they were not willing to sell, they were receptive to granting a formal easement going forward, which would allow the adjoining property owners the right to continue using that driveway for access. And that easement has already been recorded, and it's noted on the plat that strip would be used as the access for lots 1 and 2. In terms of the comments received as part of the review process, the NRCS did note that there is an area of CRP land at the south end of lot 2, still enrolled in that, it's my understanding that the planned buyer for lot 2 is aware of that. That would still be in place until it expires. So just as with previous cases where we've had CRP ground on a property, we've included a condition on the resolution Just acknowledging that a portion of Lot 2 is currently enrolled in the CRP, and if that ground were to be disturbed through before that agreement expires, then that would not be the responsibility of the county. That we have informed the subdivider of that circumstance there going forward. And then apart from that, just the usual condition we've added, since it's potentially going to be a new home developed on the site, that they would need to have a septic system installed, a permit filed before construction, and then have it constructed and installed before the home is occupied. So with that, we would recommend approval of Sunset Ridge subdivision with those two added conditions.
To approve.
Second.
Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We'll sign these after the meeting. Okay. We have approval of two quick claim deeds, a portion vacated Solomon Slough Road, section 29, T69N-R2W. Brian, do you want to address this?
Not a lot to address. This is some, I guess, old abandoned right-of-way is what I would refer to it as. It's a bit more of a front yard to a certain extent than it is a county right-of-way, but there's, you know, where Solomon Slough's at. Solomon Slough's had three different alignments in this location over the history. Two of the old alignments are long gone, but they used to be out near a house. And we've been working on this for probably 2 or 3 years with landowners out there. The people that did own it couldn't get along with the neighbors, so eventually that was sold, and now they get along. So in the end, they're basically small, unusable pieces that kind of serve as extensions of the two neighboring properties. So they agreed to a split line. The survey has actually already been filed for the survey of the parcels, and so this is the quick claim. And it still leaves plenty of right of way to the existing paved road. It just disposes of, when the county did all this, they basically bought an entire 3.5 acre piece of ground that somebody didn't want to sell a piece of. They just sold the whole thing. So we didn't leave any remnants. This will transfer it back really to the adjoining landowners that already take care of it. And it's a smart thing to do. You know, if it were an usable piece, we'd probably be going through an auction process, but they're not usable pieces. So so I would recommend approval, and really the remaining part of this process is for you to approve it, and we'll get it recorded, and that'll button it all up, other than the landowners will be paying for, each of them will pay half of the survey cost that was incurred to survey these parcels. So I would note that.
Motion to approve both quick claim deeds.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Thank you.
Terry, do these get stamped as well as signed?
No, don't
no.
stamp them.
Don't yeah, stamp. They don't get stamped.
I didn't think so. But you and I just signed them.
Yeah, you guys stamp them, they get notarized, and then Natalie handle the recording side of it.
As long as she doesn't reject anything.
I don't see
you.
That.
Unless he stamps them in this my spot, yeah. And then he'll charge it on stamp fee.
Recorder's real thing.
All the rules. Here we have approval of the Minneapolis law enforcement agreement for fiscal year 22 and 23. Kevin, do you want to address this?
Sure. So Des Moines County, through the Sheriff's Office, provides law enforcement services for the cities of Minneapolis, Danville, and Middletown. This will be just the fiscal year 23 contract for law enforcement services. What we do each year is just calculate our ongoing costs, anticipated costs for wages, insurance. We calculate everything in from costs of equipment, uniforms, and vehicles, gas, all that. And we arrive at an hourly rate, and then we contract with the towns for their needs of law enforcement services. It's a great relationship because they don't necessarily need to have a full-time law enforcement service, but through the Sheriff's Office, we're able to provide 24-hour service, and it's We're in and out of the towns constantly throughout the day and night. So it's a great relationship. I think everybody's happy with the contract, and this contract would reflect about a 4.2% increase in costs from last year. And those are just anticipated costs for the next year.
As an aside, I sat through a presentation in ISAC some years ago, and they were discussing that incorporated towns or cities have to provide law enforcement, even no matter how small they are. And if they don't have somebody do it, that sure falls on the mayor. So
yes.
I don't think there's a lot of appetite for that. So
throughout Des Moines County, we would always respond to all emergencies, but there are other calls like nuisance complaints and harassment complaints and those kind of things. So we're happy to provide that service.
Yeah, I know you are. I think your customers appreciate that. I would make a motion to approve it.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay, next we have the approval of the ACME Local 2205 Health Department tentative agreement. Following contract, parties agree to current contract. The term and condition of this agreement shall contain in full force of effect commencing July the 1st, 2022, and terminating June the 30th, 2025, unless the parties mutually agree in writing to extend all the claims and agreements. Upon termination agreement, all obligations of this agreement are automatically canceled. The party agrees at 3.75 across the board, effective July 1, 2022, 3.25, effective July 1, 2023, and a 3.25 across the board increase effective July 1, 2024.
Sounds fair. I move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Secondary roads tentative agreement. And it's the same reading as the other. You want me to read this? I will read it.
I think they're identical, aren't they?
They are identical.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have personnel actions. Oops. Left Sarah's in there. Better get it out here. First one is for the auditor's office. Sarah Doty, first deputy. It's an anniversary 12-month step increase. Previous rate $49,807.92. The new rate is $53,470.27.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Then I have two of them for the Sheriff's Department. The first one for is that Eric Michael Kramer?
Yes.
Eric, okay. And then Lynette Marie Van Sock. Both of them are reserve deputies. And their salary is $1 a year.
Pretty good rate.
Sounds like a bargain.
Yes.
Motion to approve.
Second. Second.
Sarah?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Now, if you had us three guys there, that'd be overpaid. We have reports for the jail stats for December of 2021 and the sheriff's monthly report for December of 2021. And these will be on file in the auditor's office for your convenience to read. And Terry would be glad to show them to you. Is that right, Miss Johnson? We have the minutes for the regular meeting on January the 18th, 2022.
Motion to approve.
I think we lost him. Sarah?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yeah.
Oh, we thought we lost you.
We thought we lost you, Shane.
I'm still here.
Okay, now we're going to canvass the results of the Two River Levy Drainage District election.
Security minded at Two Rivers.
Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, it's going to go that way.
You need a sharpened knife.
Yes, I do.
Don't cut yourself. You need a letter opener?
Sound like my mother.
Held in Kingston on January the 8th, 2022. Terry up there to help out with that.
The drainage districts are in charge of their own elections. So
what's that?
I said the drainage districts are in charge of their own elections. So they probably have all the ballots in there. And I think what you usually do is you count the ballots and make sure that it comes out the same as what's in the in their tally book.
Okay, well, I've got Kurt Siegel. I've got 21. And Dan Lance got 20.
How many were they elected? Two?
What does their ballot say?
Just two of them. Then it's got a place to write in. So, yeah. these things are slow. Wish they had that paper that, that thick paper. Who gave us that thick paper when we were going, but well, you weren't here. Somebody give us some awful thick paper.
They had a pretty good turnout. They got 21 ballots.
They got 21 ballots, yeah. Are there any votes at all for anybody else, Jim? I don't think you need to count them if it's just pretty much unanimous. And then an abstention on one of them.
Yep. They're all there then. One of them's only got one vote. Okay. Here, I'll let you fumble around, too.
No thanks. Motion to approve.
No thanks.
Two Rivers Drainage District election.
Okay. We'll approve this tally sheet here, right?
Stamp the outside of the envelope,
either one. Outside envelope, yeah.
That's fine too.
Good.
We have to store that forever, so it'll be with all the other election results.
Do.
I thought I heard Shane say something, but...
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah.
Shane, did you second that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Now we have the canvas of the results of the Burlington Northbound Levee Drainage District election. Close the ballot for Burlington Northbound District today. Ballot Tom Williams. 3. Looks to me like they only had one person on the ballot. Tom Williams.
It's usually not a rush to fill those positions.
No, I think they only had 5. Ballots for their election. So, of course, the north bottoms, that pretty well takes care of like around pace, so it's kind of limited on the number of people.
That will be Mr. Tom Williams. Is the winner. You ran against yourself.
Congratulations. Motion to approve.
You there, Shane?
Yeah, you guys can't see me?
No.
We saw a hand for a while.
Huh?
We saw a little hand sticking up like that for a while. I don't know what that was about.
You seconded
this? I used my computer for the first time, and I couldn't see my box either, but...
I see your name now.
You should be able to... should be able to see me. Anyway, sorry about that.
Don't be sorry about it. It's been kind of nice.
You got a cover at the very top there, Shane. So you just got to swap the cover off.
Shane, did you second that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Sarah.
All right, Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Before we move on to other business, I see Chris Lee came in late. Do you have anything for your conflict, Chris?
Just that our staff's going to be gone. We have our annual winter training, conservation department training up in Coralville, so we'll get that this week.
Thank you. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. Hey.
Oh, look.
There's a little thing on the computer.
You're looking good, Shane.
Sure, pal.
I'm glad you combed, your hair this morning.
I did it just for you, Jimmy.
Future agenda items.
I have none.
Committee reports.
I have.
I just got workforce. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm just going to say I have none.
I said workforce development, and they still need some bodies for jobs, and they're having some issues with their building, but nothing new. And then I had community action, just finishing up their budget. They're having some budget issues, but not as far as spending, just as far as lining up the money that they have coming in with dates, you know, as far as their fiscal year and the money that they're coming. But the thing is, I do want to say that community action needs staff. They're like 22 or 23 people short on staff for Head Start. So if there are people that know anybody that are looking for a job, Head Start is hiring. We can work with some wonderful little kids. I've been up there to visit them, not recently, but and they'll grab your leg and snot all over you. It's a wonderful thing. That's it.
Well, thanks, Shane. I have nothing. Public input. Anybody from the public want to call in? We'll give you 2 minutes. You can call in at 319-753-8203, extension 4, or call board at dmcounty.com. Let's call in at 319-753-8203, extension 4, or board at dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes.
Supposed to be cold tonight, isn't it, Sheriff?
Very.
So if you're going to be out on the highway, you should have a, if you have to be, you should have a blanket and gloves and a hat maybe.
Come prepared, yes.
Come prepared.
Roll your windows down so you can get acclimated.
Maybe there could be a delay to work tomorrow.
Delay to work. I'm sure.
Is that just like the person that I got a call many years ago that wanted to know if her court date was delayed because of fog, because the school was delayed by fog? I don't think so. I said I drove 20 miles to get to work. I think you can get down here.
Or it could be the lady we had that she kept faxing her photo ID and it was black. You couldn't see it. So she asked Jenny, she's like, well, can I just FaceTime with you? So then that's how you can identify me. No.
Gonna need a copy of that ID.
Yeah. FaceTime doesn't
work too bad. When I was an iron worker, I was complaining how cold it was. My feet were cold. The foreman looked at me. He said, you kids don't know anything. He said, put a little water in your boots. He said, your feet will keep the water warm, and your water will keep your feet warm. He said, go back to work.
Lots of sympathy.
Just about done here. Okay, time's up. With an aye, we're out of here.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with us today. It's nice to have